Let's turn to John chapter 14. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Otherwise, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, and you will behold me because I live. You shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. And he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You have heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father, and the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Amen. So, John chapter 14, starting at verse 31 of the chapter before, starts what's known as the Upper Room Discourse. And so this is the last teaching, last time that he spends with his disciples, you know, at this stage, it would be 1-on-11, right? Because Judas has already gone to betray Jesus. And so he starts off, and his whole point starting chapter 14 is he's getting them ready, he's preparing them for what is to come. And so, you know, he's trying to comfort them during this time. You know, he says, don't let your heart be troubled, you know, believe in God, you know, believe also in me. And so he kind of gives them a glimpse of what's going to happen in the future. Now, this one part in verse 2, it says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. You know, and if it were not so, I would not have told you, for I go prepare a place for you. You know, and this is where people, you know, talk about, like, you know, people have, like, visitations, they go up to heaven, and people have mansions, and, you know, all this stuff. I don't know about that. You know, it just seems like, you know, God has his own, you know, there's only one big home, you know, and he goes and prepares a room for each of us, you know, in this place. And, you know, and so, I mean, all to say, I think when you do hear about, you know, people go to heaven and this kind of have visions and stuff, I think you got to be just very careful, you know, that it very much really aligns with the scriptures in this way. You know, I was just trying to watch a video recently, you know, that I got from a person, and, you know, it's about this girl that was, you know, in South America somewhere, and she went to heaven, she died, and, you know, all these things, and, you know, and then, you know, and she saw a picture of hell, and the Pope was there, and I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know how, you know, beneficial that is, right? And but, you know, all to say, you know, you have to be a bit careful. And so, you know, he's saying, I'm preparing a place for you, you know, that you can come there to this place. And so Thomas asks, well, hey, give me, you know, basically give us the directions. You know, how do I know the way to this place? And he says something, verse 6. This is one of the most important passages in the whole of the New Testament. And he says, Jesus said, if I am the way and the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me. You know, and this is in stark contrast to many of the teachings in this world. You know, I mean, you've heard, hey, there are many roads to heaven. Right, you know, there, you know, yeah, there's one God, and you know, the Christians you call God Jehovah or God, and you know, but the Buddhists, you know, they, you know, his Buddha, that's God, and you know, and also so on and so forth, and you know, there's many roads there, right? We all take different directions, you know. That is such crap, you know, especially if you're going to believe what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, look, you know, they're asking where are the directions. He says, I am the directions, right? I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me, right? And so Jesus is saying there are not many ways. There are not many roads. There's really only one road, you know? And then if you, you actually take this theme even, you know, to the next level, he says, in fact, that road is very narrow. It's not very wide, you know? And so, you know, Jesus is making a definitive statement, you know, and which goes to, you know, I mean, this is the passion of the disciples as they continue on in the ministry afterwards. You know, I mean, honestly, if there were many roads to God, if it was, you know, even, you know, in Judaism, you know, if that was just the continuing the road and you're following the laws of Moses and whatnot, there was no way the disciples would have worked so hard. You know, they would have been so committed to the message, right? But it was just very clear that Jesus is the only way. I know for people that that just sounds so offensive. You know, and you know, and we try to dilute the message a lot of times in that way. But you know, that's the whole point, right? I mean, the message is offensive, right? It's just a fact of life, right? It's, you know, it's a stumbling block, you know, to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles, you know, to the Greeks, you know, and that's just, it's part of the message that we have here. You know, obviously the message can be conveyed, you know, with grace, right? But the message is true. It says, I am the way, the truth, and no one comes to the Father but through me. You know, and then he continues on this course, and he talks about the oneness of the Father, right? And just, you know, just the fact that they are there together in one. And then he begins to talk about the work of the Holy Spirit, right? So I just want to talk about that for a little bit here. And so, in verse 12, he says, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. And so we realize one of the things or the benefits or, you know, things that happen when you receive the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, is that he enables us to do greater work. Right? And so there's an empowering, right? There's an enabling of us, you know, as the people of God to do the works of Jesus. You know, and the word there actually is greater works. Now, you can draw different meanings from that, what greater means. You know, some people say that greater works means that now, you know, we basically have millions of Jesuses. You know, whereas before it was just Jesus himself, right? And so the greater works could be manifested in the sense that now, since the Holy Spirit comes upon, you know, all the Christians, right, that now there's many, many Jesuses. Well, okay, you can see that. Okay, yeah, now there's just more people doing the work. And so that could be known as greater work. But it also could be greater work in terms of the just sheer quantity of the work, right, because of people. Or it could also mean that individuals will do even greater things than Jesus did. And I think that's what the intended meaning of this passage is, right? And so, you know, so we'll do greater works than that. And then he says in verse 16, right, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. Right, and he says, this is the Spirit of truth. Right, and so now we recognize that the Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will lead us into truth. You know, and then it continues on, right, and it says, the end of 17, right, the Spirit of truth, and he says, and he abides with you, and he will be in you. And so now we see the Holy Spirit will not only be with us, you know, abiding is being with, he'll actually be inside of us. He'll be a living, dwelling presence in us, right? And so he's going to enable us to do greater works. He's going to live inside of us and also be with us, you know, and he's also, you know, going to be, is also going to lead us into truth. You know, notice there that he uses the word helper, right? It's the word paraclete. You know, we get the word advocate and whatnot, and it's and the literal definition of that is someone that stands right alongside of you. That's the paraclete, the advocate. You know, I mean, whatever is going on, he's standing right next to you. It's the spirit of truth. You know, in the U.S., you know, I don't know how it is in Hong Kong. I should probably find out these kind of things a little bit more. You know, but like if you're in the court of law, and, you know, and your verdict is being read or whatnot, you know, the lawyer stands right next to the defendant. You know, whatever, the you know, it's being read, and the defendant says, will you rise? And the lawyer, right, stands right alongside. And that's kind of the picture, right? What, no matter what's happening, Holy Spirit is standing right alongside of us. And then he tells us in the end of 26, the helper, the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, right? So he'll lead us in truth, and he'll be our teacher. You know, he'll and the great thing about that is, and he will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you, right? So not only is he going to teach us, right, but that teaching is going to be inside of us, and we'll remember. You know, we'll have the ability to remember these things, and that's something that you know. You know what I mean? It's, you know, like you cram for a test or something. You know, the things that you know is what you remember. You know, things that you don't know, obviously you don't remember these things, right? Even though you may have read it, you may have studied it. You know, and it's because the Spirit of Truth is inside of us. You know, and that means that when we encounter different situations, right, that we have access to Holy Spirit that will bring to mind truth that will help us in our situation. We'll remember. You know, we'll have maybe a difficult time or a difficult situation. And Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, right, will teach us, and then it will give us the power to remember, right, that teaching to help us, you know, along the way. And then he turns to these guys and says, hey, listen, guys, you know, peace I leave with you. You know, the shalom, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. This is not a kind of peace that's in the world. You know, the kind of peace that's in the world is circumstantial. You know, in other words, you know, I get a, you know, I, you know, do you remember when you were in high school, right, going to college? You know, I got into the college that I wanted to, man, I'm really happy. You know, I have peace now. You know, I didn't get in, oh man, I'm jacked up, right? You know, and so it's conditional, right? It's based on your circumstances. You know, kind of what we talked about on Sunday, the peace that God gives to us goes beyond circumstances. His peace that comes to us is regardless of what happens to you, right? Regardless of the situation, right? That his shalom comes over us. You know, it's just, there's a peace that I give, and it's not as the world gives, because the world's peace is temporal. It's circumstantial, right? And I give to you, and it says, let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You know, and I mean, this is a really beautiful, beautiful passage to us, and I can't tell you how many times I've quoted, you know, verse 27 in my life, going through times of difficulty, asking God, Lord, I need your peace. You know, later on, Paul will talk about a peace that transcends all understanding, right? And how does that come? It comes through prayer. You know, and we see that could be one of those channels by which it comes. You know, I want to close and talk about in verse 30. He says, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. Right? And so he recognizes that this battle is coming, right? And I think in John 11 passage, you know, when Jesus weeps, I know people have different interpretations of what that meant. You know, but if you remember the verse before, it says he troubled himself. You know, in other words, he stirred himself up. And the way that I read it is that he was preparing himself. He was rousing himself up, you know, to meet somebody that he's going to meet just a few days later, which is the devil. You know, he's overcoming his, basically, the enemy's greatest weapon that was death, you know, in preparation for his encounter with the enemy. Right, and so notice in that encounter, notice what he says, right? The enemy's coming. There's another encounter that's going to happen. And he says, but he has nothing in me. He has nothing in me. Right? He has nothing on him. Have you noticed that Jesus in the scriptures, did you notice that he's like the most emotionally healthy person? I mean, you know, like you never see him like complaining, you know? You never see him like whining. You know, you never see, I mean, you see him get angry, right? And, you know, and the Bible says, you know, there's nothing wrong with being, you know, getting angry, especially righteous, you know, anger, right? At the same time, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, the scripture tells us, but, you know, it says, you know, be angry, yet do not sin. And so we recognize anger is not necessarily sin. And so Jesus was angry, but it was a righteous anger. You know, but he's not like people backstabbing him, and he's not like seeking revenge. You know what I mean? He's like the most emotionally healthy, stable person, right? He's able to like hang out with sinners, you know, with prostitutes and tax collectors, and he is unchanged. You know, we have this great picture in Mark, and it's the woman that comes with the hemorrhage. You know, and she's bleeding, and you know, and the law it says that when you touch someone like this, that you become unclean. But Jesus touches an unclean person, and he doesn't become unclean. The person becomes clean, right? I mean, he's just so stable, right? I mean, emotionally, spiritually, this guy has it together, right? He's not backstabbing people. He's not seeking revenge. You know, he doesn't complain, right? He's just smooth. You know, it's like he's got like no worries in his life. He's calm. You know, he's in a storm and people think they're going to die. And he's like walking on water. There's another passage. He's actually sleeping, you know, and these are not like, you know, like people like us that are going on a cruise and something happens. These guys are seasoned fishermen and they think they're going to die. In fact, there's a storm. It's called the Irakulo. You know, it's a huge wind, you know, that comes through every once in a while. And they think, and this guy's sleeping. He's so calm. In the midst of the most difficult situations, he's able, you know, you talk about not having fear of man, right? He speaks to the religious leaders of his day in their face and say, you are the father of the devil. I mean, this guy fears nobody. You know, why do you think that is? I mean, yes, he's the son of God, but while he's on earth, he's the son of man. Why is it that he's able to be so emotionally stable, right? That he doesn't need to really please anybody except the Father. Why do you think that is? It's because the devil has nothing in him. You know, it's something about holiness. You know what I mean? There's something about having a life devoid of the enemy's influence in our life. You know, Jesus never needed deliverance, right? Because the enemy had nothing on him. You know, he had no private sin to deal with. Right? You know, he can pray for people and they'll get healed, and, you know, because there was such an intimacy because the enemy had nothing on him. You know, like he has on maybe some of us that are here, right? Secret sins and, you know, things that are going on behind the scenes and whatnot. I mean, the guy was just pure. You know, there was nothing for the enemy to grab a foothold in his life. Right? And, you know, and I mean, you know, honestly, I wish that there was more, you know, to this in the scriptures, you know, about how he operated in this thing, you know. And I mean, this is a more of a philosophical, I mean, I think about these kind of things. I don't know if you do, but do you think that Jesus ever repented? Now, obviously he didn't, right? Because he's without sin. I mean, that's just crazy, huh? Right? Because his heart, right? And, you know, John, you know, begins to lead us into this. His heart is he just wanted to please the Father. That was the sole motivation in his life. You know, and out of that sole motivation, the enemy had nothing on him, had nothing in him. You know, man, I wish that we could be so stable, you know, in this way. Can you imagine, you know, having a time where the enemy has nothing on you? You know how that happens? It's through repentance. Right? You know, a lost art in the church, right? You know, today, if we were to come together and you would pray to the Lord today and you would sincerely ask God to forgive you of your sins, guess what? The enemy would have nothing in you. Nothing at all. You know, he couldn't touch you, right? Now, dealing with, you know, and that may be the case, right? We're positionally righteous, but, you know, dealing with the case that maybe we have a proclivity or we succumb to different sins, if that's the case, you should go and do some inner healing, right? You know, figure out some of these patterns in our mind and how we work and whatnot to help us, you know, to break these patterns. But once you repent to the Lord, you know, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Right? You guys that took GIC, 1 John 1:9. It's so simple, right? He will forgive us and He'll purify us from all unrighteousness. Right? And then we could say, the enemy has nothing in me. You know, again, that's a repentance issue. Then there's a pattern issue. You know, that's why we have things like cascade, you know, and stuff like that to help you break those patterns in your life, right? So let's close our eyes. Let's ask the Lord to send us the Holy Spirit. Stand right alongside of us to enable us, to equip us, to lead us in the truth, to teach us and give us remembrance of those teachings in the right hour. Pray for the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to come alongside in your workplace, in your home, everything that you put your hand to, in your relationships, over your finances. Pray for Him to stand right alongside of those things as Pastor Nate leads us in a song.
cries out. As deep cries out to. As deep cries out to thee. As deep cries out to thee. We sing, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come.
Let's just continue to pray that, huh? Let's pray for Holy Spirit to come and lead us and guide us and empower us and draw us to Him. And let's pray the Spirit of God bring to us remembrance at different times of our lives when we really need to hear that truth inside of us. And let's pray the coming of the Spirit upon each of us, upon our church, our community. And let's just lift that up before God. Let's especially pray for our friends and our people in our community that really, really need the advocate to stand right alongside of them in this season of their lives. Let's continue to lift up Charles Han and his dad. Pray against the cancer. Pray that he would gain weight so that he can start his treatments and that the Lord would just continue to minister through this family. Let's pray for Alex and his father and his stomach cancer. Pray that the Holy Spirit would stand right alongside of them. Let's pray for Krista's auntie. There's a lot of warfare, you know, about going to temples and all that kind of stuff. And let's just really pray for God's hand to be with her, and especially as Krista's mom goes to Taiwan this week to minister in their family. Let's just cover her. Let's pray for Kian's mom and ask God to continue to heal her and stand alongside what's going on with them. Some of you guys may have heard James Liu's father passed away last week, and so we lift up James and his family and pray for the hand of the Lord and the Spirit of Jesus stand right alongside of them. And just others in our community going through different things. You know, some of our friends that are looking for jobs right now, you know, Katharina and Mark, let's just stand alongside of them, ask the Holy Spirit to lead in God, and let's just lift up our community, especially ones that you know that are going through different things, and let's just lift them up before the Lord. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China and let's ask God to intervene and move in this country. Let's pray for the Chung family. Let's pray God's hand will continue to be upon them, as especially as John is traveling and ministering. Let's pray for Matt and Nate's parents. Ask God's will and His grace to be upon them. Pray for Leanne as she continues to settle in, and pray especially that God would just really give her a real skill with the language and she's studying. Pray for the kids in Chichihar. Lift up the government, the churches. Let's pray for the Beijing church plant, for Pastor Sam and Kim, that he just continues to learn as he's at the church planning school right now in New York. And let's just lift up the family and ask for God's hand to be upon them. And for Chris and Amy as well, especially as Amy is due almost any day now. And so let's just lift her up. Let's pray for the SP staff. Let's ask God to continue to use and minister through the pastors and the support staff. Let's pray for the elder board, that the Holy Spirit would just guide them and just allow us to just be led by in wisdom and in truth. Let's pray for the missions committee, that they would continue to seek after new opportunities for the church and really lead us into God's heart for missions. And let's just lift up these leaders. Let's pray for Fevin Ministry and Pastor Selamat, and pray for the God would just continue to bless them and just really continue to provide more space for them. Let's pray for the Korean church in the midst of their transition. Pray for Pastor Che. The Lord would just continue to use him and just really lead the church into His care. Let's pray for SP 1.5. Let's pray for our move. And, you know, not only just praying for all the logistics and the materials and those people, but also pray that as God transitions us to a new place, a new season, that there'll be a new fresh anointing and just a real fresh grace for us. And just pray for that, the spiritual transition as well to the new place. And let's continue to lift up K plus K and Tracy and other leaders. Pray all the materials and things would get there on time, and that for the opening services and whatnot. And just pray for God's favor in this whole move. Thank you. Let's pray for House Church's meeting tonight. Then let's pray for Lan Kwai Fong, Old Peak Road, Sorrento, Kowloon, Seymour, and Star Street. Let's pray for God's hand to be upon them, upon all the leaders, and they would just really be drawn near to God, and real growth, spiritual growth, and community would be built tonight. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for the Spirit of truth, God. We thank you that, Lord, you sent us the Holy Spirit, Lord God, to lead us and guide us and empower us. And Lord, and just simply just to be with us and in us, God. And so we just want to continue to walk by faith, God, and not by sight, Lord. And we know that that's only made possible, God, as we rely on the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we say, come, Lord, and especially, God, stand alongside many in our community, Lord, that are struggling, that are going through difficult times, Lord, that you would be the ever-present help in their time of need, Father. And help us as a church to continue to pray your purposes through, Father. Lord, we thank you. We bless you, God. Watch over us today. And in Jesus we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great, great day today, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.